practice, we'll sit together. And to support the steadying of the mind, I'm going to ask a question out into the group. And if you feel moved to respond, you can speak out of your seats. A word, two words, a sentence that will fall back into the silence, and then I'll ask a question again. No need to have to respond, just see if the real for you, or as, yeah, oh, I'm just checking this, somebody couldn't hear well, is that better? The hearing loop's on, great, I'm glad. Okay, so take your seat, so it's not an exercise, it's not like a, forgive the image that comes, but the university challenge is what comes to my mind, probably because I'm here, but, you know, where you have to answer and be bright and sharp and fast, and you can be, if you like. But as much as you're able to sink down deeper into your seat. Relinquishing your flesh. We're going to have to do it soon enough anyway. Practicing relinquishing your flesh with the breath down to earth. Apparently there's a story that goes, somebody asked Plato, on his deathbed, he was in a coma, apparently. How would you summarize your life's works or something? You know, give us this last pithy answer before you die. Story goes, I don't know if it's true. Story is that he kind of rose out of his coma for a sec and said, practice dying. Right. And I like the story because that's what made sense to him then. We're going to practice something. And what does that look like right now? It doesn't look like having to be morbid or depressed. It looks like relinquishing ourselves. And as apparently Gandhi said, relinquish, let go, and enjoy. Right? There's a relationship between relinquishing our grip and joy. So practicing dying isn't like just a tunnel vision of, oh my God, it's going to happen, I better get good at it. No, practicing now so we can be more alive. Practicing now, relinquishing. What does that, and you can even ask the question as you come to sit, what does it look like to relinquish myself right now? I don't know what she's talking about. It's like a letting your weight come to earth. Letting the hands be soft, with softening the grip of the mind, the grip of the heart, the grip of the flesh. Even the way sometimes my flesh grips around my bones, you know, when we're scared sometimes. Some people will only notice the mental activity. As you get more sensitive to your body, you will also see there's a relationship in that mental activity to gripping in the flesh. It all goes together. Relinquishing ourselves isn't into an oblivion, but giving ourselves back to the totality, to the whole, to your brothers and sisters. Giving ourselves back to each other. All of us. All of us in this little blue-green planet. Giving ourselves back to the soil. To Mother Earth. Keeps giving. Space around you, the awareness can be wide, the attention can be soft. If it's helpful. You can even have just a very quiet thought. I give myself back to you. I've held myself separate from earth, from body, peoples. Sometimes I've even held myself separate from my lineage, my ancestors, my tribe, my people. And I give myself back. Don't know how. Maybe I'll try with a breath. Give myself back, not because it necessarily immediately feels good, because what else am I going to do? I've tried everything else. Give myself back to you, and I see that you are really in the same boat. You too, and everything you love, you will be parted from. And I stand with you in solidarity as my sister. Brother, so that you may be able to pass through that door right now to relinquishing everything that holds us separate, whether it's our pride, our arrogance, our terror, fear, a sense of deficiency. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do this life. I'm going to do it wrong. Our jealousy, our envy, our busyness, whatever it is. Our anger, our contention. Let me give it back just for now. As the wind rattles on our windows, steadying the mind. And we'll sit a little bit quietly, then I'll ask the question a bit later. Let's have some silence. Practice returning to where you are. steadying and calming. Unfurling the fingers of our heart. Gently. Precisely. Just one breath at a time. Just one moment of relinquishing your mind into the breath. Awake. Not making a issue out of what arises. The rain, the wind, creaky door. Isn't that a metaphor sometimes? Like when we're heading towards death. And where is your mind now? And where is your body now? And your heart? Breathe with them all and let them all breathe out. I'm going to drop a question into the space, but stay with your body and your breath and your practice. And let's begin by taking a deliberate deep breath together into the chest area, the whole rib cage, heart area, and right to the back ribs. And another couple of those, breathing in with the back of the heart, the spine behind the heart. And breathing out as if you could breathe out behind you, as if your rib cage could breathe out behind. And then a third one at your gills. If we still had gills at the sides here, breathing in. As if you had little cat flaps there at the sides of the ribs, and breathing out to the left and the right in the horizontal rim around you. And just let that whole, aerate that whole rib cage. Open your awareness to be wide enough to include it all. Whether you feel anything or not doesn't matter. Just include it even in your imagination. Let's bring the heart fully into this. The seat, commonly thought of as the center that has to do with relationship, feeling out things, feeling out the world on that level of how are you and how am I and how are we in all of this. And as you breathe, still letting the hands be soft, I'm going to ask the question. Tell us something that you love dearly. And letting it be completely allowed. Tell us something you love or have loved dearly. Opening to the space, and I ask this. Anyone who wants to respond, call out. Tell your brothers and sisters in birth and death something you love or have loved deeply. What was his name? Brian. Thank you. And as someone shares, so this is her beloved father, Brian, his anniversary. Let's breathe. Just see the effect on you and on the space here. Doesn't have to be something in particular, but let's open to us, each other. Thank you. Tell us something you have loved or love deeply. Could you hear at the back? Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. It's the same one I'm thinking of. I love him deeply too. Thank you. Tell us something you love or have loved deeply. Oh, beautiful. So keep breathing, all of us, with all these great loves. Sense your chest. Tell us something you have loved or loved deeply. The Dharma. Thank you. See what happens to your location as you hear it. Tell us something you love or have loved deeply. Yeah. Thank you. Tell us something you have loved or loved deeply. So nice hearing it opens out my possibilities. Thank you. Tell us something you have loved or love deeply. Do you want to go first at the front? The sound of the ocean, thank you. And somebody at the back, the rain. Tell us something you have loved or loved deeply. Thank you. And notice if you're able to let all of these in, or if there's any gripping, like, oh, it's enough already. Tell us something you love or have loved deeply. Thank you. Tell us something you have loved or loved deeply. The physical ability to do tasks, what a gift. Tell us something you have loved or loved deeply. Singing. Singing with others, yeah. Thank you. Tell us something you love or have loved deeply. And if anyone's listening to any of the things, thinking, but I don't have one of those, or just notice that grip, the sense of separate self, and take care of yourself, soften with that. Any more, tell us something you love or have loved deeply. My ability to feel. Excuse me. Playing and playfulness. Hurrah. Anything else? Grandchildren. So as I hear that, I don't have grandchildren or children, I'm feeling it like, I wonder what that's like to love grandchildren. And then I start to open. Tell us something you love or have loved deeply. Great. Thank you. Kathy. Friend. Any more want to be spoken out? Something you've loved or loved deeply. Sleeping outdoors. Someone's wondering about today. Some people love that. My husband's in his element in this kind of thing. Tell us something you love or have loved deeply. The music of Vaughan Williams. Great. Can anyone give us a little bar or two? Anyone? I can't think of anything that's Vaughan Williams. Tell us someone, if you're willing. Anyone know it? Anyone else's head? Any heads know that song? Can't sing it? The Lark Arising. Anything else you loved or have loved deeply? Letting yourself, if you've spoken or haven't spoken, let yourself tune into whatever is the effect of listening. Whatever. It may put you in contact with love, it may not. It doesn't have to. Sometimes when we orient the mind to love, we know in Dharma practice, it can do just that. It can really help the heart expand. Sometimes it will bring up things that seem to be in the way. And that's okay too. It may bring up constriction or sense of limitation in the heart, aversion. Don't worry. Include that. Can you take care of that? Breathe with that. Right. See where it's left you. And anything that you have loved deeply, and there will have been something, don't judge your quality of depth. Go, it wasn't that deep. Some of us are so self-doubters by tendency. Well, probably these other people are way more deep than me. Right? No, you will have loved something. Something will have spoken to you. Something will have met you that saw you. The tree, the sky, the cat. Someone, if you're fortunate enough. Something will have touched through that separate shell many times. For some it's in nature, for some it's with singing, for some it's with others. Things will have touched you. Despite ourselves sometimes. Things get in that we love. We can't help it. Hold that person, that being, that tree, that sky, that life, that cat, that child. That song, that melody. My friend had a birthday in June, and a friend of hers played Beethoven piano concerto set to piano, even though it's normally with an orchestra. And she gave a little speech at the beginning. It was really in her heart. And she said, I mean, I love the music of Beethoven. She said, but for some reason, I know he didn't have an easy life or blah, 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 blah. But for some reason, I really love his mother. She said, I love Beethoven's mother, that she birthed him. That's where her heart went. It was real. It was real. That opens in gratitude and praise. We need to see and find out those places if we want to know a love that is stronger than death. Where the praise and the gratitude and the love and the grief. Because we can never finally have that thing forever. We can never wrap our head around it, our grip around it, our iron gloves around it, and secure it in a little box, because if we did, what a horror that would be to the thing. But also because life, the dynamic principle of life, means that all that is born will pass and fade, and even the sky. Even if it lasts longer than us, we may stop. The senses, the physical senses that can see the sky, that can love the sky, one day these physical senses will pass. Praise and grief, well known as a pair in many indigenous traditions. Praise and grief, love and loss. And if I don't let myself have those things, even in their temporary way, to let them touch me, to guard myself against the pain of loss and grief and the unknown of the passing, then I keep my heart small. And I lose either way. I lose either way. Can I dare to love deeply in the realm where we will be parted from what we love? Courageously love deeply in the knowledge that it's not mine. And in the knowledge that it's not mine, I can feel the grief. And that can open me to love more deeply, eventually, not immediately necessarily. The waves of grief be there, so that my heart can be allowed to be a conduit, a conduit for more and more divine love. So let's do a short walking.